Hey everybody, it's Kat, and I want to welcome you to episode 11 of Backstory Sessions. I'm joined today by my co-host, Matt.
Hello everyone, how you doing?
And today we have a really exciting episode about weight loss tips, and we have two guests that will be joining us. I'm going to introduce those to you in just a few minutes. If this is the first time that you're listening to Backstory Sessions, we always start the episode with what caused us to choose the topic. Because with our podcast, we don't have a set topic. So every week you're not going to hear a feel-good or inspirational story. So we cover a wide range of topics, and this is how we come up with those. We choose something that Matt and I are writing or have written or will be writing. And so from those conversations about a creative project, that's how we come up with our topic for the week. So with this one, it started with a conversation we were having about water. And it's something that we're both trying to drink more of. And it's both something that both of us...
As opposed to beer.
well, beer for him. I don't like beer either. But neither of us like water. So that is a difficult thing for us to get in the required amount of water. So that's how the conversation started. And then from there, as always, we were coming up with silly ideas and characters. So, you know, like cabbage could be a character, these things like that. So we then took that and thought, okay, well, maybe, you know, we could write a book for possibly children in which the good carbs or the good food sources would be, you know, the good guys. And then the unhealthy things would be the bad guys. So that's a future project that we have in mind. And that sort of led us to this topic of weight loss. And so that's how we set up the episode for today. And we have two exciting guests. One's joining us from Manhattan and one from Los Angeles. And they're going to tell you their perspectives and the different ideas and tips that they have for you to help you with weight loss or healthier living. And I will say, during the coronavirus and this pandemic, it's some people have expressed, and I've experienced too, that it is a bit more difficult to stay focused because one, at least for me, food is harder. Like, I'm a creature of habit, so I need certain things to happen on a schedule, and food is one of those. And so it's like, either, you know, salads and things like that, you can't stockpile. And so it's either like put yourself at more risk of coronavirus by going more frequently to the grocery store, or, you know, choosing some other alternative foods. So for me, that's been kind of the struggle, and I hope that our guest will address that today. But our first guest, Santana Rodriguez, she's the host.
Hi.
Hi, Santana. She's the host of Shaping Up with Santana, and she is joining us from Los Angeles. So welcome to Backstory Sessions. Could you tell
Hi, me- thank you for having me.
Oh, it's we're so happy for you to be with us. Could you tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got started in this?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. So I am originally from Buffalo, New York. That's my hometown. And I set out here for Los Angeles and in hopes of a dream in acting. And so basically I got into that realm of the industry, and I did a lot of plays, and I did commercials, and, you know, pretty much just pursuing that entire dream out here. And then one day I had a friend of mine at the gym approach me about an opportunity to actually compete in a fitness show. And so what that fitness show involved was it was a competition where, you know, they were basically judging on symmetry. And so I said to my friend, well, you know, what kind of fitness show is this? And I thought it was like a bodybuilding show. And I said, no, that is definitely not for me. That's not who I am or something I'm trying to get into. And he said, no, it's something related between, you know, modeling and fitness. And so I said, okay, give me a few weeks. I want to get ready. And then I went for it. And I started competing in my first competition. And then I took third place in my very, very first competition, which was the motivator to keep me going and continue competing. And so the end result was 6 regional wins and 1 national win. So that really right there opened the doors to really what I was trying to strive for. I wanted to be someone that wasn't just an athlete or a competitor. I wanted to capitalize on that that talent, I guess you would call it, that I had, and I wanted to take it further. So after that, you know, I started doing a lot of modeling for different publications, a lot of fitness magazines, commercial type ads. And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to learn everything I can about production. And I did, and I asked a lot of questions. I did my homework, and I said, you know, I can do this. And so I decided to open up my own production, and I decided to create Shaping Up with Santana. And, you know, there was a lot of influences that drew me to do that. I mean, it was not only having the background as a competitor, but also, you know, my dad was very ill. My dad ended up with diabetes type 2. Unfortunately, he lost both of his legs through two amputations and was in a wheelchair for over 20 years. And, you know, he was the man, I'll tell you, that went through anything and everything you could possibly imagine. I mean, from any kind of, you know, illness, congestive heart failure. He had COPD. He had a hip replacement. I mean, it was endless what my dad went through. And so the combination of the two really was an education for me to try really getting better at understanding nutrition and the ways of beating out these kind of diseases like my dad had experienced. And that was one of the goals and missions that I was striving for. So while I was pursuing this production, I at that time wanted to do something really special for my dad. You know, my dad and I were very, very close. I was daddy's little girl. He was my world. And then my mom started getting sick also, and, you know, without going into further detail, she went through 2 different cancers, and she's in remission for both. And between those experiences and watching them go through those physical ailments, I just never wanted to see anybody else go through the same thing. So I felt like I had a responsibility to become a health advocate, to really educate the public, try to make a difference. I wanted to give back. I wanted to not see anybody go through anything my dad went through, because I felt like everybody has an opportunity and a chance right now to learn as much as they can so that they don't themselves have to experience those things. And so I wanted at that point to put the show together, and I did, and I dedicated the show to my father, and it was the greatest gift that I could give him. And that's where I am today. Shaping Up with Santana is now airing on Roku. It's on Fire TV. We're on a Google Play app. We're on Android TV. We're all over the place right now. And honestly, this has been an incredible dream come true, because it takes a lot of hard work to get there. But I believe that anybody with a drive and a mission towards any kind of passion that you have, in conjunction to having a purpose behind it, can accomplish whatever they want. And so Shaping Up with Santana is airing now, and it's a great opportunity, more so because we started airing on March. The target date was March 15th, and we had that date scheduled as months ago little did we know we would end up on the week the very pandemic was actually occurring. And I'm going to say more, just to take a little step further, that was our quarantine week in Los Angeles. That's where it all began. And so what was a negative became a positive with the show, because during that same week, all the gyms were taken away. Nobody was allowed to attend the fitness center whatsoever. And then, you know, many people started going to the parks, and then of course the parks shut down. And now I thought, wow, what a great opportunity that the show is now airing, because now my show is basically programmed and breaded for home workouts, solely for home workouts. So, you know, I just believe that everything in life happens for a reason, and everyone's, you know, got a specialized purpose behind each and every person. And this was my purpose. I created all of this. Little did I know that I would be benefiting so many people out there right now that need a workout and need to exercise, but unfortunately their resources were taken away. So our show has gotten the greatest viewership ever. Our numbers are incredibly high right now. We have so many eyeballs on the show, and it has been a blessing in disguise. So it's one, I guess, example of what I can say, a negative becoming a positive.
It's a really interesting backstory. And, you know, also I think the coronavirus and the pandemic, it's created a lot of obstacles, and it's so refreshing to hear, you know, that you're able to offer a service that so many people need at this time. So what is the connection, do you feel like, to, you know, uplifting your spirit? Because it's easy to become depressed or worried during this pandemic. What's the connection with the program that you have? How does that benefit the mind and the body as well?
Sure. Well, I would say because our show is programmed in real time, for example, when the exercises are being done, the audience, the viewers are actually, or I hope should be, doing the workouts with me, because it's done in real time. So I have a lot of like aerobic activity, a lot of cardiovascular part of the show, especially at the beginning of the show. It's all cardio. And so you're running, you're jumping, you're doing jumping jacks, you're doing all sorts of things that we can do together as a team. And I think that's the motivator in getting behind people that are very depressed, because I think one escape from depression is that you have to move. When you stay in a stagnant state where you're sitting down, or you're a couch potato and you just don't want to do anything. I mean, you're from Manhattan, so can you imagine in the wintertime how it is when it's snowing outside, or when it's, I mean, completely like raining, nobody wants to be out there. And so it's so easy to fall in a state of depression when you don't move. And so the key factor, I think, in order to get out of that slump is that you've got to do something. You've got to be mobile. And my show will force you to become that, because the show doesn't work unless you do the workouts with me. And so I demonstrate that in the show. And I also showcase like different exercises, specifically isometric, where you can target certain areas of the body, like the lower half of the body, or if you're trying to, you know, tone your triceps and your biceps. But I especially, I would say more so than anything, engage in trying to flatten the stomach. And you can't do that, I will say to everybody, with that alone. It's not going to happen. You have to incorporate a proper diet. So that's the question that I get asked most. I want to get rid of my belly. How do I do that? I've tried everything. But without changing the eating habits, it's just not going to be effective, because I can tell you, I'm gonna call it 100% of the results that you get in the abdomen area are from your eating habits. that will make or break the stomach. I can tell you that right now. So in other words, in answer to your question, as far as like, you know, really accommodating the depression factor and the mental health factor in order to get out of a depression, you got to start thinking positively, which is very difficult to do, especially during times like this. But you've got to figure out what that motivator is for you. And it can't be just only being mobile. What's going to make you get mobile? So I can individually speak for myself and say that what gets me mobile is not just the exercise. I mean, I realize how difficult it is for anyone to just jumpstart themselves and say, I'm going to exercise. It's not going to happen. It's very difficult to make that happen. And I empathize with everyone out there, because someone who's had a background like myself, and even though, you know, fitness was always a part of my life, it doesn't make me any different as far as the mentality of it. Sometimes there are days where I struggle to try to get that workout in, and I don't want to do it, but I know what's going to happen. If I go 1-2 days without, you know, training, what's going to end up happening is it's going to be day 3, day 4, day 5. It's just going to be endless, and you're going to fall into a negative pattern that you don't want to be in. And I say it's a negative pattern because obviously there are no benefits really if you don't train and watch your eating habits on a daily basis. So one thing I do want to incorporate, mental health is so critical. It's everything today, because it starts from that. And if you're not in a good state of mind, everything else follows. Everything else is going to be affected by your mindset. So the mindset is the root. That's where it all begins. So you've got to really, you know, bring elements to that that are going to break you out of that state of mind. And so, again, going back to motivation, my motivation is music. I love music. I find it therapeutic. Music is what drives me. Music is what makes me happy. Music is what makes me cry. And so I'm very, very connected to that. So once, what I always suggest is, turn on your favorite music. I would start out right there. As soon as you wake up, just, you know, start playing something that's your favorite kind of tune, whatever style of music it is. That's going to be the starting point, because it is psychological and it is therapeutic. It will get into your head, and you're going to start actually feeling better. And at that point, I decided, well, my show is going to be structured around music, dance, and exercise, and we're going to combine happy things. Let's bring all these happy things together. And doing that makes it more fun. And that's what makes the difference, I would say, with my show, in reference to, you know, other ways of trying to exercise, because I want everybody to have a good time. My show is not about technical moves. I don't want my show to be, you know, I can tell you right now, even though I've been very athletic, to watch a show and a program, if the steps are all over the place and I can't catch on, you better believe I'm not going to finish the workout. It's not going to happen. You know, you've got to be able to like be comfortable with whatever it is that you're doing, because if you're not, then you're not going to continue it. There's going to be a stopping point. So my show definitely is geared towards people having a lot of fun and a good time. And after you're done, you're going to feel so good, not only because you exercised, but you did something that was fun loving and you want to go back and do it again the next day. And so that's what I say. I think a lot of, you know, a lot of things that derive mental health is by, it has to be something that's happy. You have to think happy surroundings. And that's where, you know, the outdoors, open that window that you've had closed for a long time, you know. You know, definitely don't sit in the dark. Bring light into your home. These are things that, you know, psychologically make you feel better. And then, you know, I'm going to go into the next thing that I want to say real quick in conjunction with food, because I know that this topic is definitely about food and also avoiding obesity. Well, food, believe it or not, is connected to your mental health. When you start incorporating things like chemicals, chemically processed foods, those are chemicals entering your body, which alter your state of mind. Many people don't know that. But believe me, if you take a week out, and I ask people to just do it for 1 week, get rid of everything that's chemically based, chemically processed, meats that are chemically processed, and just focus on very natural, raw items, you're going to feel so much better, because what the body does is it rids itself of all the toxins that those chemicals carry into your body. And so basically the end result is you're going to lose weight faster because of that. And your mental capacity is going to clear so much better, and you're going to feel better, and you're going to start seeing, you know, a light in your mind where you start feeling just relieved and happier. It just all works together. So it's not just one component. You can't have one without the other. And, you know, the other thing that I do want to give everyone this tip. This is so critical that you're aware of this. Okay, so whether you live by yourself or whether you live with other people, here's the formula. The formula should be, one person needs to be the healthy person. Well, you know, obviously, most of the time, the other person isn't, okay? Whoever the healthy individual is who I would like to assign as the person that's going to go shopping for the household. Don't have both. Only one person. And the other person, the partner, if you want to work as a team, should do the cooking. That's very critical, because what happens is if you have the unhealthy person going out shopping, they're not going to make the right choices, and they're going to bring home all the wrong foods, and you're going to end up with a household full of, you know, junk food, processed foods. And now that we're in a pandemic, you're stuck home with that food. So it's critical what you're bringing into the home. That's everything. And that's what I would advise people. If you really want to jumpstart on eating healthier, just make sure that you're incorporating, you know, healthy items that are going to benefit you. Good fats, good meat, you know, foods that are high in protein and less in sugar. Those are things that are really, really critical. I would factor all those things in, because they are definitely going to affect your mental state of mind in such a great way. And especially at a time like this, I think it's very, very critical that, you know, this is a good time to make a change, a lifestyle change. And it's hard to do with all of these things going on. But if we can't get it from the outdoors because we're restricted from going anywhere, then you've got to somehow implement it into the indoors. Very, very important.
Well, a lot of really good tips there that I think are practical for implementing. Sora, let's talk with you a minute. So no diet, weight loss. How does that happen?
Well, you know, I learned a lot listening to Shasta. My story is so different, and I just find it so interesting how people take different paths and kind of where their paths meet, where their paths don't meet. But no dieting, how did that happen? Over 20 years ago, I used to teach in the inner city schools in Brooklyn, and it was very, very difficult. I was not prepared for what I met in the classroom, and these were really tough kids, you know, and I had 35 fourth graders in front of me, and it took me years to figure out how to manage them, how to keep them in their seat, and how to be a teacher. And at the same time that I was doing this, I used to diet, because I always wanted to, you know, be thinner and healthier, mainly thinner at the time. And I used to diet, take off the weight, and I always did everything perfectly, leveled every tablespoon, ate peas 3 times a week. You know, I always did what the rules of the diet said. And then I would lose the weight, and then I would regain it. So that was my story. I was teaching these tough kids, that really required really a lot of brain power on my part. And I was dieting, I was succeeding, and then failing. One day, I looked out at these 35 fourth graders, and I said, hey, Sora, how come these kids who walk, talk, and do all those other things listen to you, but food has no animate qualities, you can't stop thinking about it, and you can't stop eating? And that was my aha moment. And I said, no way, if I can manage these kids, food doesn't do anything. And yet all day I thought about food. So that's when I had my idea. And my idea was, I said to myself, I'm going to stop dieting. I'm going to eat all the foods that I want. But as part of the deal, I became obsessed with finding out why I thought about food all day, so that I knew that I would have to really understand how my brain worked. So part of the deal was that if I wasn't going to diet and I was going to eat the foods that I wanted, that I was going to have to journal every eating experience before, during, and after. I did that for years and years and years, and to this day, I still journal what I eat every day, but I really journaled in great detail. And in 1984, I reached my weight loss goal. I took off 25 pounds, and I felt secure about it. And I also, in those journalings, saw exactly why I couldn't eat and stop. And I was able to then transfer my classroom management techniques to food management techniques, and I developed this easy-to-use Eat and Stop Yourself, No Diet Weight Loss Program. So the next question is, what did I find in my journalings that led me to develop the two techniques that are in this process I developed? What I found was that no matter what I ate, nothing was enough. That I was never satisfied. Even eating the foods that I wanted, I just didn't know how much was enough. And as a result, could not stop myself. So what happened was, when I took off the 25 pounds, I realized that I could transfer my classroom management technique to food management techniques, and I developed this Eat and Stop Yourself program. Now, the program has two techniques. In my book, I don't talk about food because food is the object of the challenge, not the challenge. It's the brain's wiring. So what I say in chapter one is that the only thing that separates a person that overeats from a person that doesn't is basically the number of times a day on average they think about food. So being an educator, what does that mean? So let's pretend that you have a are you okay if I go down this road?
Sure.
Oh, okay. So let's pretend that you have a chip in your brain and you're a non-overeater. Let's say at the end of the day, you take out that chip and you put it in your computer and you print it out. Now, what I like to say is there are 35 boxes that need to be filled each day. And the boxes only come in two colors. They come in green and red. A person without a weight problem thinks 21 green thoughts, non-food thoughts a day, and 14 red thoughts, 14 food thoughts a day. But then let's say you struggle with food and you take the chip out of your brain at the end of the day. And you print it out, at the end of the day, the person who struggles with their weight is going to see 21 red food thoughts and 14 green thoughts. So my goal became to get a person to go to switch over and see more non-food thoughts consciously a day than they were seeing at the moment. And that's what my process lets you do. The process and the two techniques actually let you minimize the number of times that you want to consciously think about food. And so the great thing about this no diet program is that when you lose your weight, you're creating a non-overweight body, which is correspondent to a non-overweight mind. And that was my goal. I couldn't say it back then that way, but I wanted a true mind-body correspondence. I wanted the number of times a day I thought about food to support the way my body looked. I didn't want to be, like thin in the body, like the anorexic, thinking about food all day. So I found a way to do both. And then I actually broke down in very detail what a diet was. That's another chapter in my book, What is a Diet? And if you want, I can tell you and your listeners what a diet really is. But, would you like me to share what a diet is? Okay, so you have to think of a clock. A diet's like a clock. At 12 o'clock, someone who wants to lose weight picks a diet. A diet is a group of rules created by let's say 4 to 7 folks sitting in a room, and they decide what you're going to eat, how much you're going to eat. And basically you can't trust yourself, so you came to us for help. So you pick a diet, you go on a diet, and you're really excited. Then you get to 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, you're good, good, good. Wow, I'm following the rules of this diet. I'm really a worthy person. Look what I'm doing. I'm following these rules. But then either a day passes, 2 days passes, a week passes, and we go down to 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock is, I can't take this anymore. Are you kidding? I have to have another slice of pizza. I have to eat 5 more Oreos. I just can't take this. So what do? You diet binge or diet overeat on all the foods that you didn't have, and you feel much better. And the reason that you feel much better is because you did the only thing that you could do to take back the control from the diet. So you did the right thing. The problem is that on your binge, you couldn't stop yourself. And so what do? You beat yourself up. Oh my God, look what I just did. I can't believe it. I am so not whatever. I'm, you know, low self-esteem, beat yourself up. Well, you go to 9 o'clock and you say, I got to go back on the diet. How else am I going to let the weight go? Look what I just did. So you go back to 12 o'clock knowing full well that there's another binge lurking in the back of your mind. So what I like to say is that diets don't work because they're not your rules, and they're based on deprivation and lack of self-worth. And I'm all about learning to manage the object, which is the food. And that's the process I developed.
Well, that's interesting because in a way with Santana, you both seem to agree that the mind-body connection is very important for sustaining weight loss. Then, you know, you have a slightly different approach to food, but it seems like that people, I understand what you're saying about people failing with diets. I could follow that clock example, and I can see myself in there many times, and other people that have commented on our post when we ask, you know, about what has worked for you for weight loss. And many times people have said they were on a diet, found some success, went back to their old ways, tried another diet, gained back more than they ever lost. And it was just that kind of cycle. So it's very interesting. And so how long has it been since you developed this system?
Well, I made my first business card in 1992. And I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of unhappy dieters. And so it's been a long time. And then my book was published in 2017. It became a bestseller, and it became the 2018 Distinguished Favorite by the New York City Big Book Award Contest. And I agree with Santana 100%. It's mind-body connection. But I do it differently. I do it differently. I'm all about tools, you know. I'm very tool-centered. So I have 2 actual techniques that allow you to know when you're going to stop eating before your first bite. And that's very important to me. It would be like me training a new teacher to walk into a room with 35 kids. I would be able to tell her exactly to the T what to do to modify any kind of kid's behavior, because that's what my talent is. You know, I don't have an athletic talent, but I do understand behavioral change really well, and I know what it takes. And so I'm now really best friends with food. And I consistently can eat and stop, and I couldn't do it without my program. And I like to say that in regard to the people who post on your blog, what I like to say, if diets work, why would we need so many?
And I agree with that. I've got to say that I agree with that, even though my take is a little bit different as far as, you know, implementing, you know, my programs from yours. But at the same time, I think we can agree, yes, diets definitely do not work. I, you know, honestly, I don't even like calling it a diet. When I speak with individuals that, let's say, want advice from me in regards to health and fitness, I always say it's about really, it's a lifestyle change. And the most important thing is that when you incorporate what we call a diet, I don't even like the word, because the diet always seems to mean temporary to a lot of people. And then what will happen is, you know, after they go off that routine to get them down to the weight that they want to, all they're going to do is go right back to what they were doing before. And then they're constantly searching for the next newest thing that's going to work for them. But the reality is, anything that you do temporarily, you know, I feel is never going to work. Because you have to think about it in the sense where, you know, you want to enjoy the foods that you're eating. You also want to be consistent with it, but not just for today, but for life. And I think that's the difference between, you know, really trying to maintain a balanced lifestyle with food versus what's called a quote-unquote diet.
So would you both agree that in order to lose weight, that you are going to have to make different food choices, that you're not going to be able to exercise enough to do that with just exercise?
Absolutely. I would have to agree with that, because you can exercise all you want, but the reality is it still comes back to 75% of it, believe it or not, is all in what you are taking in and your nutrition habits. It's really everything. I mean, and again, everybody's got an individual goal. So when I give this advice, it's not so much for everybody to try to look the same or to try to achieve a Barbie doll type of figure, because that's not realistic and that's not going to happen. Everybody's, you know, body and their choices are going to be different from one person to the other. But the most important thing, I think, it's about living healthy and making sure that we go about disease prevention, and that you're not going to suffer through, you know, any major illnesses. Like, for example, my father, you know, I witnessed it all. And, you know, I think that should be the priority. Priority is so that you don't end up, you know, with those diseases. We don't want to end up with cancers. And, you know, there's no avoidance to all of that, but anything that we can do today to control that aspect and try to avoid from that happening, then I say we do it. And that really comes down to, again, individual choices, our food choices, and how we choose to live our lifestyle. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with anybody eating whatever they want, but I always say, just remember the consequences that you may face because you made those choices. And I think that goes along with anything in life. I think, you know, we've got to do what's healthy for all of us, you know, from the interior to the exterior. And that's very important. So food choices are, in my opinion, very critical.
Have you thought about, either of you thought about during this pandemic, that maybe people find it more important than ever to be healthier, because you could see in some of the studies about mortality rates, you know, if you had pre-existing conditions, if you were obese, there were a lot of things that made you at a higher risk if you did get COVID-19, that you would, you know, possibly not survive it, or you would have a more severe case. So do you see anyone coming to you with that in the back of their mind? Like, I need to get healthier.
I don't know if you want to answer, or you want me to answer.
Oh, well, I just had a one sentence for that, which is people only see what they're ready to see. And people only see what they're ready to see. So it depends. People are ready at different times in their life. I believe personally that most times people are not ready to see until they're on their knees. I mean, that's my own observation. It takes a lot for a person to say, yes, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to change. I'm like Shasta said, I'm going to make a lifestyle change. It takes a lot of courage. It's risk, it's courage, it's commitment. And quite honestly, you know, you have to be ready to do all that. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You can't go in halfway. You have to completely commit. You know, it's like Shasta said, everything takes hard work. And if you're not willing to do the work, it's not going to happen. So, you know, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, because I've got to say that we were talking about earlier, you know, is this a positive or negative? And some of the positives, you know, that obviously are coming out of this And I do think this is an education from the way that I look at it. Health is critical. And I do see more people acknowledging that more than ever before, because when I've been speaking with different people, they're like, wow, you know, I actually, you know a friend of mine that ended up with the COVID-19, and, you know, they survived it. They were within their 40s. And the reality is, health is everything, because the healthier we are, the healthier the body can actually fight against illnesses that we encounter. And I think, you know, if anything that we take out of this, it's so critical to really acknowledge that more than any other time, because if you look at the statistics and the data out there, most of the people that unfortunately passed were people with very weak immune systems, whatever their age was, whether they were elderly, whether they were younger. And that says a lot, because there's a common denominator going on here. And I honestly believe that if we all, you know, just hit that extra step and kind of incorporated, you know, more vitamin C and better foods and fats, we would protect ourselves more when things of this nature happen. And I'm not by any means, you know, pointing the finger and saying, you know, let's say an elderly person, for example, is at fault because of this, because naturally, as we get older, our immune systems definitely weaken on its own. So it's very important, I think, especially to the younger demographic, to really pay attention to this, because this is what happens, you know, as we gravitate and, you know, we start aging, that we need to start when we're younger doing all of these implementations into our lives and incorporating better health, rather than wait until we're older and something, you know, like this happens and you don't have that opportunity, you know, of survival. So I really do believe it's got to start at some point in your life, and no matter when that is, even if you did not do that when you were younger, I took it and I look at it as a wake-up call, and a lot of individuals that I've spoken to thought the same way too, and started, you know, reading more and incorporating just better ways to live healthier because of this experience.
Well, one of our listeners, April, she wrote in and she had a question, so either of you or both can answer. But she wanted to know, how do you overcome weight gain when medications that you're taking are contributing to the weight gain, and also hormones?
That's a great question, and I love that that was brought up. I mean, for myself, I would say, you know, in order to do that, it's going to be a challenge, because some medications, you know, do cause weight gain. So I think it's very important to implement, for example, I would say, you know, one thing that was mentioned earlier in the interview was writing things out, really taking, a look at the profile that you're actually creating for yourself, and literally witnessing what you're having in the morning, what you're having, because what happens is some foods don't mix in well with medication. So a lot of things that I do, a lot of times, for example, I don't take medications personally, but what I would suggest is, like, you know, Googling, you know, get on Google and find out what that medication is, find out what's in it, and pretty much, you know, ask a question or raise a question as to what foods definitely have an adverse effect when combined with that particular type of medication. I know some medications, for example, and I'm going through my father's experience, did not mix well with dairy at all. And so, you know, either he would gain weight, or he would have, you know, stomach inflammation, or all these other things would just occur to him because he mixed things or medication with the wrong food. So that's the research part of it, I think, is number one. You want to find out what's in that product. and what it does and does it mix well in. And then I would also go ahead, start writing things down as far as keeping track of what you're eating. And some of these medications also cause you to increase your appetite where you want to eat more and you can't help yourself. And it's so difficult because, you know, you have, you know, more of a desire to want to eat more, but then your metabolism may be slowing down at the same time while taking this medication, which definitely will cause that weight gain. So I think my advice would be definitely to exercise every day. Don't stop doing that. And that's what I personally would advise them. You've got to exercise every, let me take that back, not every day, but 4 to 5 times a week. At least make it a minimum 4 or 5 times a week in conjunction with good eating habits. And I would take that a step further by incorporating non-processed foods, which your body is going to be able to digest easier than if you were to eat processed meat, things of that nature, which a lot of times do not work well with medication. So that's a piece of advice I would give, and also to increase your vegetable and green intake.
Okay. And is there a chapter, Sora, in your book that addresses medications and the effects that they might have on, or how you overcome that in your thinking?
No, there isn't. But listening to what Santana said, I would do a very similar thing. If I had that issue, I would chart everything. I'm a charter. Because if you don't take a look and don't raise your awareness, it's very hard to move forward in a way that you can make changes because you don't have that kind of level of conscious awareness. So what I would do is I would make two columns. Well, no, I would make three columns. The first column, I would say time of medication and the name of the medication. The next column, I would put down over the course of the day what I ate. And then at the end of the day or at times during the day in the third column, I would write down how I felt, how my body felt. Was there a part of my body that felt affected by the medication, or did the food affect me more? I would, as Santana noted, I would look for the relationship between the medication and the food. But I also come from a different place than Santana. You know, I totally respect where Santana comes from in terms of healthy food and healthy eating. But my interest, my personal interest, and what my work is based around is having the choice to eat and stop. So this gal, her name was April?
Yes.
So April probably, and I'm making an assumption here, so tell me if I'm wrong, April probably also is challenged at eating and stopping. So not only would I write down the time of the medication, the name of the medication, but I'd also learn how to eat and stop. You see, once you learn how to manage food and eat and stop, you no longer feel controlled by the food, which really wreaks havoc on your emotions. So let's say April's on medication, but she's having a tough day, and she's at her neighbor's house, and they're socially distancing, but they pass an Entenmann cake between apartment doors, okay? And then she eats half the chocolate cake. That's going to make her feel worse and perhaps affect her relationship with the medicine differently. So what I want to teach April is how to look at that cake and know when she's going to stop eating before she starts, so that, yes, she can have a piece of chocolate cake and not live in total denial, but she can also manage her intake in a way that makes her happy, brings her peace, and also gives her a higher level of clarity as to the associating what the cake and the medication made her feel. And therefore, should she have cake again during this time when she's taking her medication? So I'm a lot more about management. And it doesn't mean that she shouldn't eat healthy, but if she has a weight problem, you know, someone could be 600 pounds and they could say to me, but I eat healthy. So healthy doesn't mean that you're going to take in a lower caloric intake so your weight can come off you, or you can keep your weight off. What interests me, what my prime interest is I look at that box of Entenmann's cake. I know that I can have what I want and stop and put the cake away. That's what I live and breathe. And it's the same thing with a salad. I mean, I have 5 salad packs in my refrigerator. Asian sesame, I have lots of different stuff. And I use the same techniques with the salad and the dressing. I need to know I can eat and stop. So whether it's healthy food or chocolate cake or a candy bar, I need to know that I can eat any food I want and I'm in charge. You know, it's the same thing with me in the classroom. It took me 5 years to figure out how to manage these kids. And it took me a long time to heal myself and figure out the story. And so I need to manage the food, you know? So that's where I stand with this. But I'm all about eating healthy, but that doesn't mean you're going to be thin. And that doesn't mean you can stop eating. So I believe in a combination of both. And choosing choosing to eat healthy, but knowing how to eat and stop.
And Matt, you said you had some questions.
So a lot of the stuff that I was going to ask you guys actually covered, like, is diet or exercise more important? But one thing that I did have a question about is, do you guys think that willpower is something that people need, or is it more of a myth?
It's a total myth. All right. I'm just going to stand up and say it now. It is a myth because you see, you don't have conscious control over your food thoughts. Remember I told you about the red and the green squares? If you have a weight problem and a red square appears, you don't have conscious choice to say, okay, I'm only going to see one red cake thought at the moment. No, you see one red cake thought, another red cake thought, and another red cake thought. It has to do with your wires and it has to do with your wiring. And there is no way to control it unless you learn to eat and stop. There is no way.
Okay, Santana, what's your take on that?
My answer would be, so do you have willpower? I think it shouldn't get to the point of willpower. I really do. I believe that anytime when someone's trying to get to a point of achieving a goal, or a weight standard, when you start bringing willpower, you know, when I think of willpower or when I hear the word willpower, it's almost like telling someone they have a restriction or a limitation on something. And when you go that approach, most of the time it's set up for failure just because of the fact that that's not how you want to lead into, you know, any kind of weight loss program. I really believe that never works. I think the most important thing is placing, for example, a client on a program that they're also happy with, which means that they're not forced to eat things just because they're healthy for them. Let's say someone doesn't like a particular food item. I mean, by forcing someone or saying, you know, these are the things that you have to eat at this time, you know, but the client says, I don't like them. Well, you know, it's the same format as exercise. If you're not incorporating a program that you're going to enjoy, you're not going to continue doing that. So to me, willpower is just thrown out the window. I think the most important thing is really for individuals to choose items that they like. However, what I would do is I would say, okay, for example, like the example of the chocolate cake. What I personally would do would be probably something different. I do agree with never limiting yourself. You don't want to do that. But at the same time, you can substitute certain foods. There's chocolate cakes out there. There's like pies and things of that nature. They're sugar-free that, believe it or not, taste really good. They're made with stevia. They're made with, you know, different sugar substitutes that are not chemically based, that are actually going to work for that individual. They're going to be filling for you as well, and you're not going to crave any of the other foods. I think, you know, half the battle in weight loss is being filled. You got to feel full after each little meal. When I say full, not to the point where you're like, I can't eat anymore. I guess the better loop would be satisfactory. You want to eat things that you're happy, that you enjoy eating, but most importantly, that are like filling enough to take you to your next meal. Because remember, one big part of weight loss is building that metabolism. That's how you're going to lose weight. That's why when you look at the stages and phases of what, you know, we as individuals go through, and before we get, you know, to the elderly stage, what happens along that ride? The metabolism starts slowing down, right? Which is why more people, as they're older, gain more weight. So in order to try to steer away from that, you have to find foods that are also beneficial for you, but also satisfactory for you, where you're enjoying it. And at the same time, you know, finding foods that the ingredients aren't as unhealthy as something else that could be. That's what really weight gain comes from. It's the processed foods. It's the sugar. It's the chemicals. I mean, if you really, truly want to live that lifestyle of being healthy, it doesn't mean, again, limiting yourself to everything that you love, because everything's all about moderation. But as long as you incorporate moderation and eat your favorite foods, you know, once in a while, you can also, in the interim, start achieving foods or making foods at home with better ingredients. And that's what I would say the key to weight loss is, from what I've seen with clients that I've worked with, is limiting the chemicals and the sugar. It is everything, because those chemicals and sugars not only put weight on you, those are the items that cause illnesses and diseases. It comes from sugar and chemically based products. So that would be my answer, you know, as far as willpower, throw it out the window, to start incorporating things that, you know, are also going to be satisfactory to you, that you're going to enjoy. Because if you go that route, then there's not going to be, you know, a short train ahead of you. You know, you're going to keep going. And that's what my answer would be.
Okay. One more question was about support networks. How important are they? You know, do you think it's critical for someone to have a good support network in order to achieve their weight loss goals, or not so important?
I think it's different for everyone. Some people need support. Some people need to sit in a room and share how their week went with food, and other folks go about it quietly, or other folks might have a coach like myself. So I really think it's individual. Some people need a room full of people. Some people need a coach. Some people might just need a coach and then a friend. I don't think there's any hard set, you know, rules in that.
Okay. Santana?
I would say... I would agree in the sense of, you know, a support system where, you know, let's say individuals that feel about it that way. I think it's wonderful, because at this point, then you have an accountability partner, which, you know, you share with them exactly what your goal is. And it's even better if they're doing that with you. But if they're not, and I truly believe a support system can help an individual from stopping, you know, from taking accountability, I guess, from stopping them in continuing a negative habit that they're not interested in doing. If the person or, you know, individual says, yes, I'm ready to do this, I want to do this, and I'm committed to this, but I might need a little help from you when there are days where I'm going to fall, and I'm not going to feel so great. And, you know, I just want, you know, to stop this altogether, because, you know, I miss my foods, or I miss, you know, whatever it is that you were doing before. So I do believe support systems, accountability partners are amazing. If you can do that, that's wonderful. But I also agree that, you know, individually you can do it on your own. But when I say that, I'm specifically saying without anybody, but I'm not going to say without anything. So, for example, you know, that help source might be that journal where you have to write things out. That help source might be, you know, a motivational video that you need to watch on television with somebody who went through something similar to you, and they're sharing their success story. You might need that type of motivation. You might need, you know, a friend, you know, to talk to, not consistently, but once in a blue moon, and let them know, okay, this is what I want to do. And you might have that individual try to help you with certain tips and advice because, you know, it worked for them. So I do believe, you know, a support system could be a person or it could be, you know, a tool. It could be either or. But I believe for somebody to do that actually on their own, solely on their own, is difficult, especially if you've never done that before. So I think it can work, you know, going either direction. It depends on, I guess, how strong somebody's individual commitment is towards anything.
Okay, fair enough. Kat, you got anything else?
Yeah, I have one last question. So, Santana, and I'll ask both of you the question, but Santana first. What are three things that the listeners don't have to spend any money for? They've just listened to this podcast, and they're wanting to do three things tomorrow to begin their weight loss journey. So what three things that are free that they can easily implement would you suggest?
Oh, this is very easy. Well, the first one I would say is watch Shaping Up with Santana. Check out the show. It's on Roku. It's for free. You download it for free. And you can actually start working out to these episodes in your living room for free. And the best part about it is, you know, it's like a trainer coming to your home, except, you know, you're watching it on television. So I highly recommend watching Shaping Up with Santana, because the best part about the show is 24/7, which means you choose the time that you would like to work out and it's readily available for you. So that's one thing I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. Number two, I would say start writing things down as well. It's like, you know, our guest said as well, you know, I totally believe in that. That's great. Get out a piece of paper. Start writing things down as far as what you're taking in and what you, not just for food, I might add. I would also say, you know, that journal should be for your goals. That's very, very important, because if you don't write your goals down 50% of the time, it's not, you're not going to make those goals, you know, become a reality. So I would say the TV show, the journal, and then I would say thirdly, that's for free, and again, it depends on everybody's individual thing. Get on YouTube. YouTube is free. Check out motivational videos on a daily basis to get you through these hard times, these pandemic times, because right now, more than anything, you need things that are going to lift you up and make you feel better and give you that hope and also, you know, that faith. And, you know, if you're a spiritual individual, I am personally, I like to pray. That's my personal thing. You know, you can choose whatever method, you know, for some people it might be meditation, but you have to do something to service three things: your mindset, your inner soul, and your physical being. And those are three examples that I would give. They're absolutely no cost for free, where you can actually fill yourself with and just feel overall better as a person trying to deal with this pandemic.
Well, thank you for those, because definitely the listeners, those are three things they can implement immediately. So I really appreciate you sharing those with us. And Sora, what would you say? Three things start tomorrow free.
Well, I'm a journaler. So the first thing I would do would be to write down what I eat every day. I'd write down the time, the food I ate, and then how much I ate. And if you don't know how much you ate, just look on the can. So You know, look at the box. So I'm a very big believer in raising conscious awareness. And unless you really journal the challenge that you're looking to fix, you're really not giving yourself the best tool possible. The second thing I would do is I would tell you to neutralize your kitchen. So if the way I like to talk about neutralizing your kitchen is, if there's food in your kitchen that's going to get you up at 3 a.m, it's got to go. So if you know that you have a box of cookies in your kitchen and you can't handle them, then throw them out. So you say, oh, but Sora, it costs money. Well, that's a decision you have to make. Do you want it on your hips or do you want it in the garbage pail? So it's like keeping Chinese food in your house after you finish it and saying, oh, no, I won't eat this until tomorrow. And then getting up at 3 a.m. and finishing it off. So I would definitely neutralize my kitchen. And another way you can do that is by always putting the same food, buying the same brands and the same food in the same place. Because what you want to do is you want to make it visually boring, so it's less tempting to reach for. And the third thing that I would really recommend, especially during this time, is I really believe in a written plan for every day. I told you I'm a journaler. So I have a sheet of paper, and every night before I go to bed, I write down, to me, there are three parts to the day. There's from the time I get up till 12 o'clock, from 12 to 6, and from 6 on. And then under the write-up, I write down who I have to email, who I have to call. And then I have a little column, and I write down all the food I eat. And then there's a little column on the bottom that says tomorrow. So I feel I can spill over if I want to write something in. So I also have a very structured day. I get up, and like Santana, the first thing I'll do is I pray and take a bath. I always pray. I need to pray to get myself into the groove to say, this is a good day, and this is the day that I'm going to do good things. And then after I do that, I do my mat Pilates and my exercise, and that's very sacred to me. I would leave that. And then after that, I get into my email, maybe a little laundry and whatever. And then after I have my lunch during these times, then I work. I do whatever it is that I need to do, and I work. And then I always have something fun planned, like 5-6 o'clock. So there's so much free online. There are plays, there's music, there are lectures, there are museums that are open 24/7 for you to take a virtual tour of. So I actually, for the week, I plan out everything that's free that I can do to entertain myself, unless I'm going to be on a Zoom call. And then before I go to bed, I have a gratitude book where I write down a minimum of three things that I'm grateful for that day. So I like to look at my day. I have a sign in my bathroom that says every day is its each unique adventure. And I always look to make it adventurous, even during these tough times. And for me, structure makes it adventurous. So that's what I would suggest.
Those are really great too, and easy to implement starting tomorrow. So I think we've provided the listeners with some great ideas.
All right. So let's see. Santana, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to tell people how they can get in touch with you if they want, and if you want to give out your information. And any last parting thoughts you might have.
Okay. Well, you can check me out on shapingupwithsantana.com. Again, www.shapingupwithsantana.com. That's the television show website. You can also follow me on Instagram. And on Instagram, it would be @SantanaFit, SantanaFit, at Santana Fit. You can also email me at info@shapingupwithsantana.com. And I really hope each and every one of you do take an opportunity to check out the television show on Roku. Like I said, it's going to be really wonderful for people that don't have access to the fitness centers right now, or don't have, you know, any equipment in your home of any kind to work with. These are home branded workouts. This is definitely sure to keep you in shape. I give you also nutritional tips during the show. It's a half hour fitness segment. And again, it's streaming 24/7 on Fire TV, if you have that. Roku television. Well, not Roku TV, but the Roku platform, and then also on Google Play. But if any of you have any questions on nutrition tips, or, you know, you just want advice on how to get into a physical workout program, please go ahead and definitely email me. I will definitely answer all questions. And if you need a source of, you know, support, I am definitely available to give that to you. But, you know, I say for everyone, just, you know, we're all in this together, and we have to work as a team. And, you know, we all, I believe, can learn from each other in so many factors. And just to keep your head up high, because, you know, without hope or faith or anything, it's going to be very difficult trying to get through this, and we will get through it. So just, you know, stay strong, and we're going to get through this.
All right. Thank you very much. And Sora?
So my website is www.nodieting.net, and I'm available for free consultation, and we can talk about your relationship with food and what you'd like your next step to be and if we're a good fit. I'm also on Facebook at Facebook/peacefulfoodmanagement, and I'm on Twitter at No Diet Coach. And what I'd like to say to your listeners is that all things are possible to those who believe, and that inch by inch, anything's a cinch, and yard by yard, life is hard. And if I could, you can.
That's awesome. Got any parting thoughts?
The only other thing I want to also mention, too, if anybody wants to showcase their businesses, definitely reach out to me, and we can do something where I can place an ad about your business to give you that extra oomph when we get back to normal again. But I just want to throw that out there. And I'm just really excited for the future. I believe good things are ahead. I mean, we can't get any worse than this. So, I mean, there's only one direction we can go in. So it's got to be a good direction.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. Kat, do you have any last thoughts before we sign off here?
Yeah, I just want to thank both of our guests today for joining us. And I know that the listeners will really find some helpful information. So thank you for being a part of the Backstory Sessions.
Well, thank you. This was wonderful.
So as always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or criticisms, please contact Kat, because she loves to hear from people. The email address is iwriteplays@outlook.com, or if you really have to, you can contact me at backstorysessions@gmail.com, and we're available to answer any questions or whatever you might need. Again, we'd like to thank you both for being here. I think you've given us some good advice, and I personally got a lot out of it, because I struggle with getting started. I think that's my biggest problem. I've started a million times and failed a million times, so I just need to come up with some good strategies, and I think you ladies have provided that. And I just wanted to say thank you again, and we will end on that note.